Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, Swam Liu. This episode of the Raptors Over Everything Podcast is brought to you by our official sponsor, Kentucky Fried Chicken, the new official food of basketball. So make sure you're never missing buckets. Order yours online at kfc.ca and get it before tip-off. So I'm recapping the Toronto Raptors' 122-117 win over the Atlanta Hawks. And this game was ugly, but it was entertaining. It definitely did not lack for entertainment value. Did it bring a lot of unnecessary stress for a game against the Hawks, who are pretty terrible? Yeah, it did. But, you know, it was still a fun game. It's a lot of great performances. You know, Trae Young had 42 and 15. That's just incredible. And honestly, Trae Young is just really fun to watch. I know his numbers don't translate to wins just yet, but still, I have a lot of respect for Trae Young's game, especially after a night like tonight. But you know, it was a sloppy game nevertheless, and it was sloppy from start to finish, really. You know, that kind of comes with the territory of a day game. The Raptors playing as part of the Martin Luther King Day celebrations. You know, they had to play at 2:30 in Atlanta, and you know, we've just seen when you play early, the games are usually pretty ugly, especially for these guys. We've seen countless Raptor games in the playoffs start at like 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, even 5 o'clock. It throws the timing of all these players off. Like, you know, normally these guys play at night and you're asking them to come to work and you're asking their bodies, which have a natural rhythm, to perform way, way earlier. And you know, it just kind of created for an ugly night. Like, the Raptors really fell behind in the second quarter, where the Raptors lost, you know, 35-21. And in that stretch, it featured some extremely ugly defense and also some extremely ugly offense, where the Raptors couldn't hit from three at all. They shot 2 of 14 from three in that quarter. And, you know, that put the Raptors down heading into halftime. And, you know, I was very curious to see how the Raptors would respond, because, you know, they were down at halftime against Minnesota and they, you know, beat the Timberwolves no problem. But I wanted to see how the Raptors respond. A, defensively, I wanted to see if they could sort of put any sort of pieces in play to, you know, maybe stop Trae Young, who, again, was not very stopped. I mean, 42 points and 15 assists is ridiculous. But, you know, it's just, I wanted to see if the Raptors could at least sort of, you know, just junk the game up. And then also offensively, I wanted to see if the Raptors could do something different other than hit threes. And on both front, I would say it was okay. Like, you know, defensively, they started playing a couple more zone sets, sort of 2-3 zone, you know, one into a whole box and one against Trae Young. They changed the guys who were guarding Trae Young. Like, OG spent a lot of possessions guarding Trae Young, tried putting size on him. And then ultimately, they kind of settled into a switching defense, which kind of worked for at least a little bit. Again, they had 42 and 15, so I'm not going to say anything worked great. But, you know, switching seemed to be a little bit better. But, you know, it wasn't really necessarily solving the answer on offense. The Raptors defensively, second half, at least our third quarter, was okay. They limited to the Hawks to 22 points. But offensively, the Raptors couldn't fully get it going. I mean, really, what they did do a good job of was being physical, going inside the paint. And they're figuring some things out in that sense. You know, for example, Nick Nurse came up with one play after a timeout where they had Kyle Lowry screen in the corner for Pascal away from the ball. And then Pascal would flash towards the rim. And, you know, Marcus Gasol have the action up top and throw the high-low pass down to Pascal. You got an open layup the first time he did the Raptors ran this play, and it worked. Next time down, the Raptors ran the exact same play. They got a switch, a foul, and then they got the ball into Pascal again. He got deep post position against his matchup, but he still got he got fouled. And it just the Raptors were finding ways to get to the rim. You know, like Kyle did a really good job of forcing his way to the rim. You know, Fred did as well, although Fred, I would say Fred also might have been a little over-eager with some of his drives. Definitely going one-on-three for Fred is not necessarily the best idea. And really, the Raptors offensively just didn't have it spark. Again, they weren't hitting threes. They were getting to the rim, but, you know, it's sort of throwing off their floor balance is compromising their defense with someone on the floor, and it's just it was just looking bad, and it looked like, man, the Raptors might actually lose this game. Now, I mean, come on, it's the Hawks, and you kind of figure the Hawks will screw this up eventually. But really, the Hawks didn't screw up. The Hawks kind of played well throughout, and it was really just the guy who flipped this game was Norman Powell, who rode in with his hero's cape like it was the playoffs against the Bucks or like the playoffs against the Indiana Pacers or the Bucks again, and he just flipped this game. Like, he just completely flipped this game. Norman Powell had only 2 points in the first half. He was in early foul trouble. He, you know, this game was definitely called, a lot of touch fouls were called in this game. You know, Trae Young got to the free throw line 21 times. Norm picked up two very, very quick fouls trying to guard Trae. Again, both of those were very light fouls, but that's sort of the style of the game that the referees wanted to call. And so Norm was limited by foul trouble. And also, you know, just the Raptors generally weren't performing very well offensively. A lot of it was out of sync. So when he checks into the game in the third quarter, the Raptors were down about 7 points. You know, the starters had tried to make a push, but they couldn't get over the top. And so Norm finally checks in. And he doesn't even do something. He doesn't really do much in the first couple of plays that he comes in. But between the last two-minute mark of the third quarter and the last two-minute mark of the fourth quarter, Norman Powell scored 25 points on that stretch. And he was making ridiculous, ridiculous plays. You know, at first it was very, very normal Norman Powell stuff. You know, we're talking about a catch-and-shoot corner three. You know, Kyle Lowry drove the lane, collapsed the defense, kicked it out to Pascal on the baseline. Pascal swung it instantly to Norm, who was behind him in the corner. Norm hits a three. Then Norm hits another three. Another catch-and-shoot three. And then, you know, the Raptors swung the ball over to Norm in a sequence where the Hawks defense was a little scrambled, and Norm gets the foul line after the help shows up late at the rim. And so, you know, very quickly, it's an 8-0 run for Norm Powell. And you're like, okay, Norm's clearly got the hot hand. Let's keep feeding Norm. And oh my God, was this guy hot. Like, he was hitting shots I've never seen Norm hit before. And, you know, this whole stretch of late where he's getting 20 points every single game, starting to come off the bench, you know, I've seen him hit a lot of shots that I've never seen him hit or make before. Today, for example, off a high screen from Serge Ibaka, the defender sticks with him. Norm Powell crosses him up with a behind-the-back dribble, then gets himself some space, fires it up for three like he's Steph Curry or something, splash. And then, you know, another three right after that. Again, at this point, the Raptors bench is just going nuts. Everyone on the Raptors bench is jumping up and down, waving towels. You know, even Chris Boucher is celebrating, even though DeMar ended him. Like, it's just a lot of stuff was happening. And literally, you know, Norm Powell was single-handedly dragging this team into the lead. And, you know, the Hawks were kind of rattled by this. They were not expecting it. They had most of the momentum. And all of a sudden, they couldn't stop Norm Powell. And, you know, the shot that, you know, to me was the KSC bucket of the game was Norm Powell gets the ball. Just like maybe 12 seconds off on the clock. He has Vince Carter on him, who is 41 years old and has played in 4 decades of NBA basketball. That's just an incredible stat. Norm Powell stares down Vince, kills the clock for no reason, really. You know, it was not like an end of quarter situation or whatever. It was the middle of the fourth quarter. He kills the clock. He looks Vince in the eye, pulls up swish from like 28 feet. And at this point, I mean, everyone's just going nuts. The Raptors were, if not on that three, on another three later on by Serge Ibaka, they were up 21 points in the middle of the fourth quarter. And it was laughable. Honestly, it was like, I can't believe they're in such a tough game. The Hawks gave it a great effort. Trae Young was unstoppable. And the Raptors still up 21 because of Norman Powell. And they're going to cruise to this win. And, you know, that was at least a thought. But, damn, it did not necessarily go that way. Yeah, so So, I mean, on one hand, I understand what Nick Nurse was doing because, you know, it's one of those situations where you want to reward the bench for making the comeback. It was not the starters that played well tonight. The starters, they got some numbers, but the starters, generally speaking, did not play well. But it was the bench. It was the bench. It was the five-man unit of Pat McCaw, Terrence Davis, Norman Powell, Rodney Hollis-Jefferson, and Serge Ibaka. And the bench was the one that gave them the lead. So, you know, a lot of times the coach would stick with the lineup to reward them. And that's exactly what Nick Nurse did. He really, really trusted the lineup. And he really liked the momentum of the group. He liked the flow of the group. And so he extended the minutes. I mean, that bench lineup basically played the second half of the third quarter and almost the entire fourth quarter. And, of course, it was working. It was working, at least by the numbers. But it did come back to bite them because when they were down big, the Hawks made one last push. They started pulling up, pressing full court, and the Raptors just got really scrambled. And, you know, I hate to put it on one guy because, you know, I've talked about it. Like, I don't think all the Raptors' issues are Pat McCaw. I think they have other issues. And I didn't even think it's that fair that he gets that much criticism. But when you see a game like this, like, how could you not say anything, right? It's not even necessarily all about Pat McCaw. It's about Nick Nurse as well because he seems to have too much trust in McCaw. But, you know, you could see the flaws of McCaw in this situation. You know, in this situation, for example, McCaw is the only point guard on the floor, really. Terrence Davis is supposed to be a point guard, but he's mostly a two guard. He doesn't handle the ball that much. And McCaw is supposed to be the guy that's bringing the ball up, setting the table for everyone else. The issue is McCaw's not that safe of a ball handler. The guys just pick him off. Like, the full court press today, for example, one of the big plays that really gave the Hawks a lot of momentum, a lot of belief, and gave the building a lot of energy is that, you know, Trae Young picked him up full court, picked the ball away, and went in for a layup. And that's exactly the same play that happened in OKC. When the Raptors were blowing their 30-point lead in OKC, it was the same deal. It was the bench lineup was in. McCaw was handling the ball. McCaw was the ball handler out there. Dennis Schroeder picks him up full court, picks him off, goes in for, and one sequence happens after that. And, the Thunder have a huge, boost in energy. And, I hate to pick on McCaw in this situation because I don't think he's all the Raptors' issues. But, damn, you can't put him out there as the only ball handler. Like, I understand it from Nick's perspective. I really do. He wanted to give the bench some trust. He wanted to reward them with minutes. They deserved it. They gave them the lead. But at the same time, when you look back on the film of this, how much of it was the Raptors bench playing well as a unit, or how much of it was just Norman Powell getting hot and covering up for everyone else? Because it's not like the rest of the bench played that well together. Now, if I want to be fair to Nick's decision there, the bench did do a decent job defensively. They gave great effort. Like I mentioned earlier, the Raptors were trying to figure out different ways to guard Trae Young, and he's very slippery. He's very crafty. Either he was shooting, getting open, or getting into the lane for floaters, or driving all the way to the rim and finishing for Marc Gasol. Or he was just finding guys with his passing. And he had, like I mentioned, 15 assists. This guy can really move the ball. So they were trying to figure things out. And really the one thing that temporarily slowed down that slowed down Trae Young was switching. They went to a switching defense. That bench lineup was more switchable. A lot of situations it was involving, you know, guys like John Collins, who's at the power forward position. You know, McCaw did a pretty good job of pressuring Trae Young and sort of at least sort of keeping him in front of him. And then when that screen came from Collins, usually it was Rondé who would switch on to Trae. And, you know, by being able to switch, by being able to just keep Trae out of the lane, that sort of at least allowed the Raptors to be steady defensively and allowed Norm Powell to hit a bunch of shots. But, you know, if you look at it, though, like, it wasn't like McCaw was having a great game. You know, I thought defensively McCaw was much better against the Timberwolves than he was tonight. And he definitely wasn't stopping Trae Young by himself. He was putting up resistance, but he wasn't stopping him. Rondé just, I don't think he had a good game. Like, he had good moments of pressure, good moments of energy. Ultimately, when you really look at it, like, Rondé was committing a lot of silly fouls, and the spacing on the floor was not great. It's just, it sort of, you know, put a damper on the Raptors' offense, his presence out there. And again, the foul trouble was just, it was a lot. I mean, some of it was bad calls, but some of it was legitimately just, like, bad plays. And then Rondé picked up a tech. And then you look at Serge Ibaka, who was just not good. like for most of the game. He hit two threes in the fourth quarter. That was nice. But realistically, was not really involved, kind of out of sync, you know, missed a couple of makeable shots even when he did get them. And it was just, you know, it wasn't a great game for him defensively either. He wasn't really making that many impact plays. And so what I'm trying to say is that, like, that lineup just wasn't even doing that much. So whatever. So Nick wants to give the bench some credit. And, you know, as an offshoot, you know, it's great to be able to give the starters some rest. The starters, none of the starters played over 30 minutes tonight. That's great. But at the same time, it became really costly because McCaw's the only ball handler on the floor. They're pressing him. They're forcing turnovers. And the Raptors couldn't solve the press. And all of a sudden, the Hawks get back into the game. I mean, really, if you got to look at it, a 20-point lead is not that much in the NBA nowadays. Especially with a team like the Hawks that shoot so many threes. A guy like Trae Young, who's able to make 4-point plays regularly. It's just a problem. And, I mean, the Raptors lost momentum. And, you know, Nick tried to ride it out. He tried to keep the starters on the bench, but it just got untenable. And so at a certain point, with 2 minutes left, he has to put in Pascal. He has to put in Fred. And, of course, the full court press stopped working at that point. You know, when you have Pascal being able to handle the ball a little bit in the backcourt, him being taller, too, is a lot easier for him to beat the press because he's able to, you know, rise up and pass over the top. But even Pascal, he committed a mistake there, too, because he threw a pass. Now, it looked deflected on the replay, but the referees reviewed it, and it turns out it wasn't. But, you know, at least when the starters came back into the game was a little bit less hectic. But, you know, it's also hard to just change everything on a dime. You know, these starters are probably not prepared to come back into the game. And it was just a situation for them that was very stressful. It was very tenuous. And, you know, you start making mental mistakes as a team. Like when you have everyone going bad. Even Norm Powell, who is the hero of this game, threw a terrible pass on the baseline that got picked up by Trae Young. And Trae Young went in for a floater. Now, Norm went up there and blocked it and nearly got the block. But the ball was on the way down. They reviewed the play. And, yeah, it was a goaltending call. And so it was looking really dicey. And really, the game had to close with Fred VanVleet. Fred VanVleet had to close this game. Now, he really only made one shot. You know, Fred came off a high screen, got a switch. You know, took one or two hard steps into the lane, stopped the big man, sort of obviously being a little bit slower and being a little bit bigger, was not able to stop in time. And Fred was able to stop on a dime, pull up, swish the mid-range shot, and that gave the Raptors a 3-point lead. And then, you know, he hit some free throws, and then he got fouled on a 3-point shot on a very, very sloppy close out by John Collins, and he was able to knock down those free throws, and that got the Raptors finally to finally kill off the Hawks. But, you know, it's just one of those games where, again, like I mentioned, it was thrilling, man. It was thrilling. You can't say you didn't get entertained by a game like this. But, damn, it was also unnecessarily stressful because, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, you try to extend your hand, as Nurse did, and try to reward them. And he got burned, and that's it. And you know, the starters had to come in and put out the fire. They were, to be honest, the Raptors were even a little bit lucky to get control back of the game. But nevertheless, I think it's still a positive result. Again, it's hard to take away that much from a day game. Like, it's just, it throws out the rhythm of everybody. But if you look at it, I mean, obviously Norm Powell had a great game. He's obviously the first star tonight. I don't even think there's another choice, to be honest. Norm Powell, 27 points in 25 minutes off the bench, 7 of 14 from the field, 6 of 9 from 3, 7 of 7 from the free throw line, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 2 steals. The 3 turnovers, a little unfortunate. Like I mentioned, he made some mistakes as well. But for the most part, Norm, I mean, in that third quarter to fourth quarter stretch, it's the hottest I've ever seen Norm. Just consistently, play after play, creating offense. And honestly, if Norm keeps this up, and honestly, you look at today, for example, only 2 points going into, like, pretty much the end of the third quarter. Only 2 points. And he still gets the 20 points. It's just, it's, I don't know. I mean, is it time to launch the Norm Powell for six-man campaign? Like, he hasn't played enough games off the bench. You have to come off the bench for at least half your games, and Norm have to be a starter for a lot of the season. But if he continues at this rate, yeah, Norm Powell for six-man. Like, damn, he's been amazing. He single-handedly flipped this game. Nobody else nobody else should get credit other than Norm, really. Like, Norm really, really killed it tonight. He was playing really well. And again, the threes are just wild. he's the first star. Your second star tonight, I'm giving that to Fred VanVleet, mostly just because of the way he hit some free throws and hit that shot at the end. Overall, there were times today where Fred sort of forced the offense, wasn't really there. But, I mean, come on, 20 points in 26 minutes. 4 of 11 shooting is not great, but 11 of 14 is amazing. You know, got 3 steals, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Again, mostly it's just that Fred was able to come in, bring a steadying presence, calm everyone down. And that's one of the things you love most about Fred. Like, the guy really has ice in his veins. Like, he will make the shots in the fourth quarter that you need him to make. And even dating back to, you know, in his second year when, you know, he hit that 3 after going like 0 of 11, DeMar drives down the floor, kicks it out to Fred in the corner, and Fred switches the 3 to finally put away the Pistons. Like, you know, Fred's always had that ice in his veins. And I mean, I don't know. I don't need to tell you how Fred closes games. If you watched Game 6 of the NBA Finals, it was not Kawhi Leonard who was scoring in the fourth quarter to close the game and give the Raptors their first ever championship. It was Fred VanVleet in the last 6 minutes. Go watch the highlights. So, Fred's my second star. And then third star, I'm going to give it to Pascal. It's not the greatest game on Pascal. 18 points, 6 of 13 shooting, 0 of 4 from the three-point line, 6 of 7 from free throw. But what I liked about Pascal's game tonight, A, defensively, he gave a lot of great energy, especially in the first half. He's just rotating everywhere, making hustle plays, help plays, everything like that. But offensively, it was just anytime he gave it to Pascal Siakam, he was able to get to the rim and either score or get free throws. Occasionally, he got blocked, but for the most part, he was able to just consistently break down the defense. And that's where I would like to almost see the Raptors getting more shots because, you know, his game is – a lot of it is on the perimeter nowadays. You know, especially early in the game, he likes to sort of test out the jumper, see if he's got it going. And if he hits a couple of those threes early on, then that's how you know a 30.9 is coming. But the bread and butter of Pascal Siakam's game is still the post-up. And, you know, that just needs to be there. That just needs to be there for Pascal. And I think the Raptors could run a couple more plays for Pascal to just get the ball in the post, especially against like a team like the Hawks, who don't really have that much rim protection on the floor. Now, they did have 8 blocks tonight, and they were, generally speaking, okay at protecting the rim. But for the most part, they didn't really have a power forward who would guard Pascal. They didn't really have a great scheme of help defense to come over and corral Pascal. So I would like to see a little bit more post plays run for Pascal. And we saw a little bit of that in the third quarter where, again, Kyle Lowry screening in the corner, Pascal flashing and either getting a mismatch or getting deep post position and getting it going to work. You know, I would like to see more of that. And you know, again, like I mentioned in the last episode against the Timberwolves, Pascal is still working his way back from injury. He needs to get his energy back. He's still on that, you know, that time limit. Right now, he only played 29. He hasn't really cracked 30 since he's back because that's the limit. So we'll see that aggression return when his full game comes back and he's playing full minutes again. But, you know, for the most part, I mean, in half-court setting, Pascal did really well offensively. So, you know, solid effort for him. Of course, the Gerald Henderson Award, there's no disrespect to Trae Young whatsoever, but, like, 42 points, 15 assists is in 39 minutes on 11 of 20 shooting from the field. And also 18 of 21 from the free throw line. That's just nuts. I mean, like, you could give it to, like, Bruno Fernando or whatever, but really it was Trae Young time after time, play after play, creating for the Hawks. And that was against a really good defense like the Raptors, who generally speaking have pretty good defenders against point guards. Generally speaking, have pretty good just a system of help defense in place. And whatever, it's a day game and things like that. But generally speaking, the Raptors are really good defensively. And Trae Young just gave them the work. 42 points and 15 assists. Now, whatever, Trae Young's teams, they have not won. The Hawks don't play defense, everything like that. But ultimately, Trae Young was a killer, man. And from start to finish, too, because he came on real strong in the fourth quarter, hit some crazy shots. He pulled up, crossed over McCaw, got him to foul him, hit a 3 anyway. Like, it was nuts, man. And even at the end of the game, you know, making subtle plays, like pushing the pace all the way down the floor like Kyle Lowry does. And then, you know, catching the Raptors in transition, even though the Raptors had made the basket off a free throw. Trae Young races down the floor and creates an open layup for one of his bigs. And, I like his energy. I like his talent. I love watching him, really. He's really entertaining. He makes incredible passes. And, honestly, there's a debate for All-Star, you know, like, oh, do you reward wins or numbers? And of course, you know, Trae Young is more of a numbers guy than a wins guy at the moment. But, damn, I don't know how you deny him. He is so entertaining. He's so crafty. He's so skilled. And, he's just so much fun to watch. But ultimately, this game was a bit of a heart attack. But big shout out to Norman Powell. I can't believe he's doing this every single night now. It's amazing. Really just nerves, man. Come on. The McCaw thing, like, you have Fred back now. And I understand everyone's on a time limit and stuff like that, but damn, like, you just... There shouldn't be that many meaningful minutes without one of Fred or Kyle on the floor. And so I'm hoping that they can work to get to that point, because, you know, Makah is the only ball handler. It's just not to be trusted. It's just there's problems, and it's not even fair to Makah, because he's not supposed to have this big of a role, but damn, right now it's trying times. And you know, the Raptors, whatever, they got the win, and hopefully they learned the lesson as well. But yeah, thanks everyone for listening. Rate, review, subscribe to the podcast, watch it on YouTube. Big thanks to KFC for sponsoring the show. And I'll be back on Wednesday when the Raptors play the Sixers. That should be a really fun game.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.